Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I'm Ian McIntosh and welcome to Track FC, your concise yet comprehensive thrice a week show. It's football fast, no faff, so without any ado, let's get started. Well, what a fun night of football. A smattering of shocks shared around the continent. Paris Saint-Germain beaten by Sporting. Manchester City beaten by Bodo/Glimt. Dortmund beaten by Tottenham. Penny for the thoughts of Paphos as they prepare to play Chelsea. It would take a heart stone not to be moved by Thomas Frank and his announcement that he would be treating himself to two glasses of red wine in the wake of Spurs' victory over Dortmund. It means that far from being sacked, as many thought/hoped, Frank now has a pathway to redemption. Burnley beckon at the weekend. That's a must win. Then they have the chaos engine that is Eintracht Frankfurt. That's a must win, but it must also be a 9-goal thriller or Eintracht Frankfurt turn into a pumpkin. And then they have Manchester City. And all of a sudden, that is a can win. City were beaten in the Arctic Circle, a line that evokes images of snow and reindeer and trying not to get invaded by your most powerful ally. But it also hides the fact that Bodo/Glimt are actually a decent side. They got to the Europa League semi-finals last season, and when you put a decent side up against anyone with a makeshift defence, a high line and a star striker with no open play goals in eight games, well, things happen.
This is where they can break.
Intercepted by Evian. Hauge, Bjørkan on the outside of him. Nice football again here by Bodo/Glimt.
Oh,
that's stunning. Wow. Utterly remarkable what we are seeing here. Take a bow, Jens Petter Hauge.
It's been a difficult start to 2026 for Pep Guardiola. He's failed to win any of his last four Premier League games. His only victories have been in the domestic cups. And last week, Richard Keys announced that he was about to be replaced by Enzo Maresca. Oh, the indignity. City play Wolves at home on Saturday. If they lose that one, then fine. I'll call it a crisis. But at the moment, I'm putting this down to a slew of defensive injuries and the youngsters who have been thrown into the fray in their stead. They just haven't performed at the level required. The arrival of Mark Gahey cannot come quickly enough. A word on Arsenal, because if I don't, people on the internet will get angry with me. They went off and beat Inter 3-1 in their own house, their seventh win from seven Champions League games. That is the sort of result and performance that should allay the feverish anxiety amongst some of their supporters, but it probably won't. That's now 12 games without defeat, nine of which were victories. Their only two defeats this season have been courtesy of a goal of the season contender free kick from Dominic Szoboszlai in August and a last gasp Villa winner in a very even game in December. They're top of the Champions League, top of the Premier League, they're one game from the League Cup final, and for whatever it's worth, they're in the FA Cup fourth round too. Now, I know that Arsenal fans won't properly relax until the title's confirmed, and every time they so much as draw a game, articles appear questioning everything from tactics to transfer strategy to atmospheric conditions. But lads, it's gonna be fine. Try to breathe. Poor old Bournemouth, leading Brighton on Monday night through Marcus Tavernier's penalty. They were pegged back in injury time by, well, this.
Skagli to swing it in. Van Hekker goes up. Good header. Pastranas! Oh! A late moment of magic from a very talented young player.
And while you might normally say, oh well, injury time wonder goals make fools of the best of us, see also Arne Slot and Harrison Reed, this is not the first time that the Cherries have been popped while leading. In fact, they've now dropped 18 points from winning positions this season. That's the most of any team in the Premier League. It goes some way to explaining why a team that was riding high before the dark nights of winter drew in are now 15th and only 10 points clear of West Ham. What must Andoni Iraola make of it all? The 43-year-old Spanish boss is in the final year of his contract, and you suspect that if he allows it to run down, he'll have his pick of some pretty decent jobs. And while the more tender-hearted of us might argue that he perhaps owes Bournemouth after they stuck with him for a dismal start to his life in England, an opening run which failed to garner a league win until October 28th of his first campaign, those of us who have seen the world and felt the sting of her capricious lash will be altogether more cynical about this. Now, casual observers, and it is Bournemouth, so I'm afraid that describes most of us, will either see Iraola as a miracle worker who's consistently battered above his average, even after a summer in which he lost half his defence, or they'll see another fancy systems manager, but one who's picked up only a single victory in his last 14 games. So what is it exactly that he does? And where might he end up if he does choose to leave? John McKenzie is from The Athletic. You'll have seen his excellent tactical analysis videos on their YouTube channel. And if you haven't, we've stuck a particularly good one in the episode description. John, is Iraola actually any good?
I'm not sure anyone would seriously try to argue that Iraola isn't a good coach. During his three seasons at Bournemouth, he's turned the club into a solid mid-table side, and he's done so despite losing his best players at regular intervals. And that's been pretty profitable for the club. If you look at the club's transfer dealings since he arrived, after the initial outlay, they've made over €200 million in net profit, with players like Dean Howson, Ilya Zabani, and Antoine Semenyo all going to elite clubs. Of course, the person who hasn't profited from that is Iraola himself, who came into this season effectively having to completely overhaul a very successful backline from the last campaign, and who's just lost Semenyo midway through the current one. I think it's pretty clear then that the stuttering that they've gone through recently is in big part due to this turnover of the squad, along with some long-term injuries to stalwart players like Tyler Adams and Ryan Christie, who've both been out for a while. And it's also worth noting that they've struggled to maintain winning game states throughout Iraola's tenure at the club, with the team dropping 18 points from winning positions so far this season. Now, this is largely a consequence of their play style, which relies on an intensity that is both difficult to keep up over 90 minutes, and which relies on creating chaos to destabilise opponents, something that's much less desirable when you're trying to control a game when you're winning. But there are some bright spots on the horizon. They've recently signed Alex Toth from Ferencvaros, which gives them more options in midfield, and Junior Krupi finding his feet in the 10 spot has solved a number of problems both in and out of possession. The big question for Bournemouth, though, is how long will Iraola be willing to tolerate this high turnover approach, especially with his contract drawing to a conclusion. So it's not outside the realms of possibility, I think, that Iraola could be coaching at another team by the time next season swings around.
That's John McKenzie. Find him on the Athletic FC YouTube feed. Now, one other bit of Bournemouth news. They've landed themselves another Hungarian international. It's Alex Toth, a £10.4 million signing from Ferencvaros. That's Robbie Keane's side, remember. He's described as a sort of all-action midfielder. Bit of an 8, bit of a 10. Sounds like lots of fun. And as we pressed the big red button here, Sky Sports News also revealed that Bournemouth have agreed a deal in principle for Rayan, the 19-year-old Vasco da Gama winger who scored 14 goals in 34 games last season, and that's all we know about him. Our friends at FitzDares have some thoughts about Bournemouth. They say that they are 25-1 to scramble back into the top six. They're currently 7 points off. And they're 25-1 to get relegated. They're currently 10 points ahead of West Ham. If you like those odds or you'd like to see other odds and you're over 18, check out fitstairs.com, but please gamble responsibly. Some other bits of news. Will Still has emerged from hiding after his ignominious exit from Southampton. No journey is without its challenges, he said on Instagram. There have been difficult personal periods, and to be let go by Southampton in November was one of them. Did it hurt? Of course. I'm passionate about my work as a head coach. I love the job and building something with all the people I'm lucky enough to work with. Criticism can be harsh, but it comes with the territory. I also know I didn't get everything right, and on reflection, there are things I'd have done differently. But for all of this, I appreciate all the opportunities I've been afforded, and this time away has given me fresh energy, perspective, and an even stronger sense of how much I know I have to give. Now there speaks a man who wants to be back in the game sharpish. Keep an eye on him. Some sad news, the football statistics website FBref has had to remove most of the data from its site after it claimed its provider Opta said their use of the data violated an agreement. Unfortunately, said FBref last week, the provider of our advanced soccer data sent us a letter terminating our access to their data feeds and requiring the deletion of their data from the site immediately. As a result, we've removed the provider's data from FBref and StatHead in compliance with their demand. Now, if you've been reading me or listening to me over the past 20 years, you will have noticed a bit of a difference pre and post Muddy Knees Media. The first stage of my football writing was, I think we can safely say, vibe-led. The second stage, when I discovered FBref, and more importantly, how to use it properly, well, for the first time, there are occasions where I actually sounded like I might know what I was talking about. I don't know what's happened between Opta and FBref. I hope they find a solution. And in the meantime, I can only thank them all for making me look, if not good, then at least less bad. There's loads more football over the coming 2 days, and once again, I'm going to spare both you and I from a full TV listing section, though I wonder if that's something we should do as a different podcast, like read out the fixtures, set it to an ambient soundscape, and, you know, have it as one of those relaxation things. Let's give it a try. At 5:45, FK Karabag play Eintracht Frankfurt, and you can watch it on TNT. Or maybe not. If I was watching the Champions League, I'd start with Galatasaray, leaders of the Turkish League, against Atletico Madrid. I'd follow that up with barking mad Marseille against Liverpool, just in case Marseille and this all becomes a whole sack slot week. I do think that would be silly and everyone there needs to calm down a bit too. Those games are on TNT. If I wasn't watching the Champions League, I'd want to watch Stoke versus Middlesbrough on Sky. And if I wanted to watch women's football, I'd be on the BBC watching Man City versus Chelsea in the League Cup semis. On Thursday, you've got your Europa League and your Conference League, and frankly, you're welcome to it. Now, if I did want to watch it, I'd watch Fenerbahce Aston Villa at 5:45 and Braga Forest at 8, also on TNT. Thank you for your messages. You can get in contact with me on Twitter, on Blue Sky, on LinkedIn, and even in the comments section on Spotify. It's always lovely to see stuff there. RebelB7 on Twitter says, have you rebranded, Ian? Well, yes, I have. We are no longer Route 1, we are now Track FC, but I cannot tell you anything about what that means, except to say you'll like it. Adam on LinkedIn says, where's the Book of the Week? You said you were going to keep Book of the Week. Adam, it's still a thing, and I have now received the first book of 2026, Once Upon a Time in La Liga by Brendan Madden, and I will start reading it today. It's just that someone bought me a book about Shackleton, I got completely sidetracked, but I am back on the case. That was Track FC. It was football fast, no faff, and it's here thrice a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I've been Ian McIntosh. Your producer was Helena Fremantle. We will be back on Friday, and we'll see you then.